கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும். So we are discussing the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita called Karma Sannyasa Yoga. So here sannyasa means giving up the feeling that I am the doer, I am the knower, and I am the enjoyer. A true devotee will not entertain these three feelings. I am not the knower, I am not the doer, and I am not the experiencer or enjoyer. And who is the doer? Who is the knower? Who is the experiencer? It is the Divine Lord Himself. You know, you take the example of a car. This was the imagery presented in the Kathopanishad by Lord Krishna. So you have a car and the car is going. Does the car think, I know where to go, I know, I desire to go, and I am enjoying my ride? Who is it that really enjoys? It is the person who is the person who is riding. The driver also is only a driver. Actually, our mind is the driver. The buddhi is the driver. The mind is compared to the what is called wheel, which the driver controls. Buddhi is the driver. Mind is the wheel. Yes. And the four tires, they are the compared to the sense organs. The roads on which this car travels, what is that roads? Sense objects. If all of these take credit, it would be wrong. So who is the one who is really enjoying? It is the rider, the owner. That was the imagery given. So in this instance, our body is the chariot. Sense organs are the horses, as it were. And the mind is that which obeys the decisions. You know, buddhi is the decision maker. The buddhi, the intellect, not the English word intellect. You know, English words are confused with the Sanskrit words. The intellect means buddhi is not, in English words, mind means intellect. Mind means thinker. Mind means that which gives command. Mind is also the enjoyer. This is how we use that word mind. But in Sanskrit or Vedantic language, it's called antahkarana. So it has four faculties. The first faculty is mind. The second faculty is memory. The third faculty is the decisive factor, decision maker. And the constant factor which inheres and works through all these three faculties is called ahankara. But this ahankara, this buddhi, this chitta and the manas, all the four are like a car. They are inert. What is the inertness? They do not have the consciousness. They are not conscious. They are controlled by something else. So how do we know that when you are unconscious, will your ahankara work? Will your chitta work? Buddhi works? What does work? Nothing works. But as soon as you become conscious, everything works. If we can realize this, what is this consciousness? That consciousness without which none of these work. But without this, it is constantly there. That is called the Atman. That is called the Paramatman, that is called God, that is called Bhagavan, that is called Brahman, that is called reality, that is called pure consciousness, whatever name you give. So this consciousness is equally present within each one of us. That's what Swami Vivekananda meant when he says each soul is potentially divine. That amount of consciousness which we allow to reflect in this body-mind complex, that's what is called Atman divinity. And how many divinities are there? There is only one. Just imagine a person has 100 cars. He can use every car, he can use any car at any time. But if each car thinks it is acting, it is the doer, it is the knower, then that would be a wrong thing to do. How does this help us in our practical day-to-day life? You know, experiencer, the word used is enjoyer. Enjoyer is a beautiful connotation in Bengali. In Sanskrit language, bhoga means enjoyment. One who enjoys is called bhogi. So in Bengali they use the word bhukche. Bhukche means he is suffering. So the word is experiencer. But what is the experience? It's the most marvelous word. What is the every experience is a happy experience. Every experience is enjoyment of that Satchidananda. If only we know, because in a drama, this is the example given, in a cinema, in a drama, every scene acted perfectly brings enjoyment. The nearest expression we come to understand this properly is, it is called the art experience, aesthetic experience. It's the most marvelous thing. I'm going to talk a little about it because we can understand what is an aesthetic experience. Through some examples I will tell you. Any type of aesthetic experience is only joy producing experience. Now by experience we mean that our mind expresses our experience through some emotions. These emotions in Sanskrit are called rasas. Rasa. So these rasas, according to Indian aesthetics, are ninefold. Navarasa, we call them. We know some of the rasas, very famous. One is Shringara rasa, erotic experience. We know Hasya rasa, humor, experience of humor. Then we know Bhivatsa rasa, ferocious, frightening experience. We are all frightened. Sometimes we laugh at the jokes and we all experience erotic feelings. Then tragedy is there, viraha. That is also an experience. When these experiences are occurring in our day-to-day life, when it is a positive, we divide these experiences into positive and negative experiences. Positive experiences are happiness producing experiences. Negative experiences are that which produces grief, sadness, suffering, depression, etc. So we try to run away from those depressing producing experiences. Our whole life is an attempt, to put in simple words, that we want to be happy, we want to avoid unhappiness. Simple truth. This is our day-to-day experience. Now, how do we, even though we are ignorant, but occasionally we experience aesthetically these similar experiences and enjoy every experience that happens. Whatever be the kind of emotional expression, we enjoy it. Happiness also we enjoy, and unhappiness also we enjoy. I mean unhappiness producing experiences also we enjoy. Okay, this is where the example is needed. You are watching a cinema. Usually the cinema consists of only four characters or three characters. What are these? Hero, heroine, buffoon, villain. Is there anything else? The rest is only gap filler. This is the main theme of every cinema. But what is important is the capacity of the actors who act better. Okay, supposing there is a very tragic film. Everything ends in tragedy. But it has been enacted so beautifully, so wonderfully, so accurately it expresses our day-to-day experiences. What does it do? It becomes a box office hit. What does it mean? It means most number of people go to watch it. And most number of people, meaning what? Each person sees only once and never goes back? No. The person who goes and watches it once buys the ticket, he helps box office in two ways. He himself goes again and again. And second, he also takes others also along with him. Is it not? Now see, there is these tragic events are there. But why do you, it is unhappy, tragedy always produces unhappiness in our day-to-day life. But here, you are paying money and going and watching them. So, is there any fool who would pay for unhappy experience? It is a most happy experience. Even though the event is unhappiness, but the way it has been depicted, it is so beautiful. Then what then is the difference? Why do we pay money to go and watch these things again and again? You know, there are some films which we watch in life many times, don't you see? Then why do we do that, even though they are such tragedies? You know, there are Shakespeare has written these dramas and comedies and tragedies, you know, very famous, some of the tragedies. Even today, after so many years, these tragedies are watched again and again. There was some G was asked, who wrote Shakespeare's works? He said, I do not know. So, why do you think we... Because it touches a chord in our life. It reflects, it reminds us there's something similar that happened in our life. That's why do you go on watching them? For two reasons. One reason is that we know that it is not real. It is only something which we can enjoy. So that is the essence of aesthetic experience. What is it? That it is not real. And when something is not real, then there out of that comes a most marvelous faculty, and that is called detachment. It is this detachment which the Lord is speaking of. This is why I am specially referring to this particular analogy of the cinema. Throughout the Gita, the only thing that is advocated is detachment. Detachment doesn't mean indifference. What was I talking about, aesthetic experience? You don't go there and close your eyes. You watch it all the time and experience it. Vicarious experience is another word. Vicarious experience. What is vicarious experience? What a marvelous commentary. Vicarious means experiencing in proxy. Some other person You know, you enjoy or suffer, somebody else's enjoyment or suffering, this is called vicarious experience. And we are all past masters in this vicarious experience, but with one difference, that we start as vicarious experience, but we end make it our own experience. For example, there are so many psychological novels, you know, beautiful psychology depicted in the form of a novel, psychological truths depicted in the form of novels. Nowadays many things come like that. I'm not talking about these rubbish thrillers and others. I think there is classical what is called stories and novels are there. For example, you know that Brothers Karamazov, the Idiot, you know that Russian writer, what is her name? Dostoevsky. He was a past master in it. And there was also a drama writer in America, Eugene O'Neill. He was a past master in it. Okay, so there was a famous novel, I do not remember now. In that he defeats, there was a priest, a monk, and he had tremendous desires. Even though he became a monk for some reason, people become monks for various reasons. One reason is, in the past there was a tradition, especially in Catholic families, they must give one of their children to the monastery. They used to consider it as a very sacred obligation. So this person became a monk, and he was not fit to be a monk. He had a lot of worldly desires, but he can't go back. The society was such. So what happens in that story? He brings up another orphan child as his own child. You know, in monasteries they take orphans and bring. And this priest really loved this boy as his own son. And this son was brilliant. He was trained well. And then this poor orphan boy becomes a most very powerful person who gets lot of high position, name, fame and all that. And he was traveling in a first class Cadillac car or something like that. So whenever this monk travels in that car, you know, driven by chauffeur, and his son is there, he feels as though he was experiencing it. The car belonged to him and all the honor is due to him. Some things, you know, similar things happen. Sometimes it puzzles me, puzzled me also. I was in Bangalore, and the IGP of Karnataka was my close devotee. So occasionally he used to lend me his car, unfortunately. And I was traveling in the back seat, every policeman. Now I did not know how to respond. Should I sell you? It was a very embarrassing street. Every street corner, as soon as they know, the IGP car. And after saluting, he looks and says, "There is no IGP, only me." He was also equally puzzled. Why did I waste my salute? So this is called vicarious experience. Parents have this vicarious experience. My son is a doctor. My daughter-in-law is a, you know, big official. Every parent to some extent has this vicarious pride, vicarious experience. They are in themselves nobody, but they experience the prestige, power, etc. of their children. This is the vicarious experience. So in this aesthetic experience, what happens? The first thing is, we know it is not real. So even if a lion is coming towards me, I don't mind. But what is important to understand is, if the cinema is taken so beautifully, means the actors or actresses have acted well, you undergo all the emotions. Somebody comes with a gun, you are frightened. You know, like three-dimensional films, a snake comes and is like that. You know, what would be your instinctive reaction?
Duck.
To duck. Yeah. You know, there was I was marvelous. You know, America is the headquarters of Mahamaya. Especially the Times Square in New York City. Somebody, some Swami told me that that is the headquarters of Mahamaya. All other cities are branch centers. You know these billboards and other things? You know, those who have seen Times Square. Every shop, huge electronic display. Tokyo is another one. Can't move one foot without seeing hundreds of these things. The point is, we undergo all those experiences, but with this, you know, what do you call, rider. With this rider, we know as though, as if. That is called detachment. Why am I talking about this? We'll come back shortly. This is what happens in a saint's life. When we see this person is detached, the immediate idea that comes to our mind is this person is not at all experiencing any emotion. Somebody is happy, he has nothing to do, it has nothing to do with him. Somebody is unhappy, it has nothing to do. Duniya trikal mein hai nahi. No, they experience to the fullest extent all the emotions, but with this rider, as if. This beautiful truth has been put so wonder succinctly by Shankaracharya in his introduction to this Bhagavad Gita, eva, that is the Sanskrit word for as if, eva, as though God is born, as though the samsara is real, God is incarnated, as though. Three or four times he uses that in his introduction. So the point is, as we experience a very beautiful film, experience all the gamut of emotions, but at the same time, when we know that it is nothing of it is real. This is called aesthetic experience. Another example would be, there is some famous painter, paints a very tragic figure, ugly, old, very poor, and almost on deathbed. But it is so accurately, realistically painted, and involuntarily we say, how beautiful. You know, it is an ugly thing. If you see in the real life, you run away. Ugly thing. But here, you give the first prize for that painting. So what is happening? You experience the emotion. You know, art is to produce an as-if experience in its fullness. It is not to hold your eyes, hoodwink your eyes. The better the art, the more realistic it is. But with this rider again, as though, in our heart of hearts we know it is as if real, but not really real. So what is the effect of it? That we experience all the gamuts of emotions, but at the same time as a witness, these are all not at all real. A saint's life is like that. Spiritual sadhana is exactly to become this kind of person. We experience the full gamut of life's experiences. We undergo pain, we undergo happiness, we shed tears at tragedy, suffering, but at the same time, as if. That is why aesthetic experience is compared Brahmananda Anubhuti, the next to Brahmanubhuti. That is why people like saints, they experience constantly. That is what is called Leela. You heard the word Leela? Say Bhagavan's Leela. As if real. Because if it is really real, then Bhagavan must be the cruelest being in the whole universe to create this death and suffering and killing and all those things. But he knows it is not real. Those who know, they know it is not real. How do, you may ask, how do you know, sir? Because the Lord himself, what did he say? The very first verse that came out of his mouth is what? You are grieving for those you should not grieve. The real pundits, they neither grieve for the living nor grieve for the dead. But how could you say there we should not grieve? Did not Sri Ramakrishna weep at the suffering of people? Didn't Holy Mother? Otherwise, how could they have sympathy? But they know the truth, that it is as if, but we do not know the truth. So if we do not know that all the experiences we are having, if it is happiness also, it is not real, it is as if. If it is unhappiness also, it is as if. If we do not know, we are called samsaris. If we know, we are called sannyasins. This is the essence of this particular verse which I am going to read now. It is the 13th verse. Sarva karmani manasa sannyasyaste sukham vashe navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. The subduer of the senses, having renounced all actions by discrimination, rests happily in the city of the nine gates, neither acting nor causing others to act. This verse has to be understood properly, that's why I explained at such length. This person, who is telling this, who is telling this teaching, who is giving this teaching? Sri Krishna. Where was he giving this teaching? What was he doing? He was driving Arjuna to nuts. But this nuts, you know, it is a reverse nut. He is driving the nuts means he is not driving a sane man to nuts. He is driving a nutty man to sanity. So he is not telling you just, you know, renounce everything and you be like an inert body, like a dead body. He is not saying that. As if you are a dead body. As if there are two ways to, as one way is prakriti, nature is doing, trigunas are doing. The other way is, it is the Lord who is doing it. I have nothing to do. Sri Ramakrishna's predominant view is that it is the mother who is doing it. I do not know anything, I only eat and drink. Means what? I only enjoy. So that is why this aesthetic experience, those who have aesthetic experiences, they understand what is called spiritual experience. The more we progress towards spirituality, the more sympathetic we become, the more our sensitivity increases. You know, do you understand what I am talking? Our normal idea is, the more a person becomes spiritual, the more he becomes similar to a stone. It's completely wrong. His capacity, intensity of experience of both happiness or unhappiness increases. So when even a simplest thing, he goes into ecstasy. If somebody, he sees somebody else is suffering, immediately, who feels worse? Tell me, in our ordinary experiences, a child is suffering from fever. Who grieves more, the child or the mother? That's why God has created this samsara. You know why? Aesthetic experience doesn't always mean that you should go to a museum or a cinema or a drama. Aesthetic experience is available in every household, in every day, every minute of our life. So somebody in your family is very happy, it increases your happiness. If two people are happy in your family, your joy will be double fold. If two people are suffering, your suffering also is double fold. But because we are samsarins, we think it is real, we don't, that is not aesthetic experience. But a wise person, what does he do? He lives as though that as if it is real. He is not devoid of emotions. In fact, his sensitivity increases. Examples, I will give two examples to illustrate this point. You know, Sri Ramakrishna one day, as a small young boy, is walking in the fields. Suddenly he had wonderful experience, aesthetic experience. What was that? He saw, you know, the whole sky was covered with black clouds, and then a flock of white, pure white cranes were flowing against it. So what happens? If we see it, we won't go into ecstasy. Oh, that is nice. We say that's nice, beautiful. But that is the end of it. Because our sensitivity is very limited. Immediately, he fell down unconscious. Because this bliss arising of this aesthetic experience is so overwhelming that his body could not cope with it. So, Holy Mother, I mentioned that incident, you know, once a old woman came and she was haggard looking, and mother asked, why are you looking? He said, mother, what shall I say? My only son, 25 years old, suddenly died. I was hoping that now he will earn money and I will have some rest. My whole life I have worked, but now he is gone. Now I have to carry on. No one is there to look after me. This produced, you know what happened? This produced so much grief in Holy Mother. She cried more than the woman. Everybody came running. Why was mother crying? Then they were stunned. What can they say? Holy Mother was sobbing along with that woman, much more than that woman. Now through that act, you know what Holy Mother did? She lightened the burden of that old woman. There are many lessons to learn from these incidents. You know, if you share, if you genuinely feel sympathetic with the other person's grief, then that is a great relief for that person. Sometimes the tragedy in this modern world is that there are no people even to talk. Talking means not simply talking, but to share, genuinely share with each other. So many old people, they have all normal comforts, but they die suffering. There is nobody to show sympathy with them, share their thoughts and feelings. So, Holy Mothers from life, we can learn, even though she was a woman of supreme wisdom, she could say, this is not real and I don't care, but she had that full sympathy. But how could she, was it real? That is the point. Was her grief real or unreal? So in what sense is it real? Is it real like ours? You know, like I gave the example, a psychiatrist, when a person is suffering, the psychiatrist knows this person, what he is suffering from is unreal. So from the realistic point of view, there is no ground, basis for that suffering. But the man knows that person, genuinely thinks it is real, and he is suffering. See the point? The person's suffering is real, even though the cause of his suffering is not real. So the psychiatrist has these two views harmoniously combined, how to sympathize with the patient, otherwise the patient will not be cured. In case you do not know, probably you know it, but in case you do not know, I am telling it, that psychologist or psychiatrist who has genuine rapport with his or her patient, only there is a chance the patient becomes better. It is not the medication, it is not the cut and dried official advice, but it is the personality that really makes a success or a failure. Even medical doctors also, physicians also, the 50% cure comes from the doctor. The other 50%, you know, proper diagnosis, medicines, etc. How can we develop this kind of sympathy? At the same time, from Holy Mother's life, we can say, she is experiencing all the gamuts of other people's emotions. At the same time, she knows that it is real for them, it is unreal from the real point of view. But she harmoniously combined. Because after 1 hour, do you think she was grieving? She wipes her tears and gives the person some gifts or something. She knows she has reduced the other person's grief, but she knows in her heart of hearts this is divine Leela. This is called Leela. This marvelous play called Samsara is a Leela. So there are three types of experiences of this Samsara. From the Parabrahman's point of view, Samsara doesn't exist. From the Samsari's point of view, no? Pure worldly person's viewpoint point of view, everything is 100% real. But from the saint's point of view, it is a combination of the real and the unreal. It is a mistaken case of reality, unreality. This is what Shankara summarizes and says, Satyanrite Mithuni Kritya. This is called Adhyasa. But in our case, this Adhyasa is real. In a saint's case, this Adhyasa is Adhyasa, means it is Leela. And when you know it is a Leela, it is aesthetic experience, you can 100 times you can experience this. What is that? What am I talking about? The moment a saint comes to that state of mind, when he realizes this whole universe is a Leela, he is no more afraid to come here a billion times. Because if it is real, nobody wants to come. But if it is unreal, he doesn't want to come. But if it is a mixture of reality and unreality combined together, then he is prepared to come any number of times. Because what does it matter? He is only, because you know, we are not afraid to be in the samsara. No samsari is afraid to be a samsari, so long as it is a happy experience. Is it not true? It's only when unhappiness comes, I want to, this samsara is terrible, I want to get out. Yeah. So this is what the Lord is telling. The subduer of the senses, having renounced all actions, means he doesn't stop acting. Renouncing the actions means what? He doesn't have the feeling, I am the doer, I am the desirer, and I am the experiencer. He knows it is the divine self. For the divine self, everything is a joy. He is swimming in an ocean of bliss. But these things add masala to it. Yeah. And any number of times he can. So as long as we live in this human body, and this human body is characterized as a city of the 9 gates, neither acting nor causing others to act. Why? Because he has nothing to act. Action is possible only when there is a desire, when there is an instrument, a goal to attain. Causing others, there are no others, because everybody is an actor and there is no other body. So to be able to understand this particular point of view, I have to refer to the dream experience. You have a dream. Suppose you are dreaming, and you are dreaming that you have come to this house and a Swami has come from UK, and he is discussing Bhagavad Gita. You are dreaming. And the Swami's class is over in the dream, and you are all discussing how was the talk. Some people say it was wonderful, some people say it's okay. Some people, out of politeness, they don't say anything. So this is all in the dream. Then you come out of the dream and recollect that dream. You know, the person who said it is wonderful, the person who said it is okay, the person who doesn't want to express what is in his mind. All these different views belong to how many minds? Only one mind. So, where does that fellow, he is unintelligent fellow. He didn't agree with me. Would you say that? Because you know the person who agreed and the person who disagreed, both persons are two different thoughts belonging to the one and the same mind. This is a wonderful experience. How can we have this kind of experience in our day-to-day life, in the waking state? You see, all these examples are fine in discussions, but we have to make our life conform to this understanding. We have right understanding. We have no problem about understanding. The problem is about how to make that understanding be harmonious with our every action in the waking state. So that is called spiritual sadhana. It has to be done diligently for a long time, but it is possible. How do we know? Because every saint confirms that it is possible to attain to that state. So the Lord is, another point before we go further, how we can attain to that state, the Lord gives details. In the Bhagavad Gita, and Bhagavad Gita is one of the most marvelous books on what is called darshana. In Vedanta, philosophy, what you call in English philosophy, is called darshana. Every philosophy must have must deal with three subjects. What is that? Tattva, Hita and Purushartha. Tattva means what is the truth. So what is the truth? God alone is the truth. Therefore, what is the goal of life? To reach that truth. God realization in Sri Ramakrishna's words is the goal. So truth and goal are one and the same. If that be the truth, then nobody else can have any other goal. This is a point, again, you will have to understand properly. Supposing, you know, there are two people, and one person is very honest, very truthful. The other person, you know, you believe that you believed that person is also truthful and very honest, but then you come to know the truth that that person is not really truthful and honest, he is a cheater, he is a hypocrite. Now, once you know that one of these persons is truthful and the other person is the opposite, then to whom will you go? Only to the truthful person. So, do you understand what I am driving at? Once we know the truth, no other thing can be the goal. You cannot wish a goal that which you know to be untrue, it is unreal. Nobody desires an unreal thing. Everybody desires only a real thing. You know, one man is walking in the dark street, back streets of New York. Suddenly he felt the butt of a pistol behind him. Hand over your wallet. So what can the fellow do? He handed over the wallet. So the other fellow took it, was running away. After running few feet, he turned back. There is no bullet in this pistol. This fellow was also starting to run away. He also, there is no money in the wallet. Good lesson to learn, you know. Have a wonderful wallet, put it in a prominent place, put very few worthless things there. All the valuable things you put somewhere where nobody would even suspect they are there. Very wise thing to do while traveling. So, the thing that we have to understand is, once we know this is real, then you cannot wish any other goal. That reality alone can be your goal, nothing else. Now what is samsara? We use the word samsara, worldliness. We think all these things are real. We think God is not real. This is the truth. We are in the reverse position. A saint definitely knows that God is real.